D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I got a...
Yeah, even our intro thing is an exaggeration. 200 square feet, my you-know-what.
Nobody wants to hear...
I love this podcast. I love this
book. Nobody wants to hear that the fish was only this big.
Yeah.
They want to hear the fish was this big
there
right
you
here.
Go. All right.
Hey, it's another, I don't know, week. We 2 in 1 week, baby, yeah. In the off season. Another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the basement, the luxurious. No, check that. The spacious.
The swank.
The swanky.
There you go.
Swank.
Yeah.
Of studios here. In my house.
That's right.
I feel like I'm in New Orleans. It's hot and humid.
Well, I turned the fan on. I don't want you to get all upset. I know how you need your, he wants his M&Ms. He don't want no, what is it, the brown ones? He don't want his M&Ms in there. Y'all know that story?
Yeah. No.
Like musicians, they go on tour and they tell them.
Oh, yeah. Separate the colors and all. Yeah.
And they do that just to make sure they actually read it. So,
right.
Anyway, But we had some time on our hands. It's the summer. I pulled Tomas away from the pool. He was sunbathing, and so we get him over here.
I look tan, don't I?
No, you do. I bet you shave him down, he'd be ghost pale white. Man.
Probably.
I tell you what, boy, you know what? I got a new dog, and I got one of them brushes we could run on him. It's called the dogs do? They the Sheddinator.
The Sheddinator.
Well, I got plenty of that problem for me.
Oh man, we got the Tom Selleck mustache going on, man. It's looking, that's it, man.
Marlboro
I'm
man.
Not even giving you much. The Marlboro man. I'm not even giving you much hard time. Tomas recently suffered a loss in his family, so I'm not gonna, his puppy passed away. So
my beautiful little Golden. Yep.
Yeah, he's sad too, man. I'm not gonna make no jokes. I'm gonna get to something serious here. I didn't mean to bring.
So
it
last
down.
Week.
Yeah.
Or a couple days ago. A
couple of days ago. I tell you what, I don't know. We got this little dice.
Yeah. We kind of
email that we promised little dice and we didn't get to it.
Yeah.
But we
also kind of did.
We kind of
alluded
to it. It kind
of fits in a little bit to what we were talking about.
Yeah, because we kind of did. That was very impromptu because early in the week we did a offense and a defense. Well, actually, Tomas did an offense and defense review, and we threw our comments in at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
So we got a little time to do that. But this, I think, will kind of tie that in so that I still think just Tomas, I like to believe I'm the realist and Tomas is the optimist, and we're going to butt heads on these things again. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. It'll probably go the same way.
Yeah.
I win, he loses, and he usually admits he's wrong. If nothing else, he'll be like, Dave, you really got me that time, buddy. Let's see. Did I mention I may have, I just over here with all the nonsense, we also have our weekly talk with old Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. He's going to come in and talk to us about a little Saints football. We're right on it. The Saints rookies report today. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have some news.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's time to talk Saints football, not just our opinions, what we think it's going to be. Well, it's going to be a lot of opinions and what we think. But it'll be on actual things going on.
We're not worried about the facts.
Yeah, facts, no. But Tomas set the precedent. We don't worry about the facts. We got
that's
opinions.
Right, that's right.
That's going to be the motto of our show. We don't worry about facts. We got opinions.
That's right.
We got we can work on that. We're going to clean that up. And make it right there. All right, let's get to it.
Thank you. And now... it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people.
Yay, that's my
tens of dollars.
You can fit dozens of people
Tomas,
in here, though. I tell you
Heath,
that.
Dave, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
Everybody scream! Just the left side. Not just the right side.
There you go.
All right, just the left side. All right, everybody, just the ladies.
Well, he's even backwards on that.
I know.
The left side.
Wind Indian, I guess he had way too many.
Maybe he was pointing
Indians
in the right direction for the people looking from the radio.
Right, right. That's stage left.
He didn't want to back right. People
there
up. There you go.
Listen, when you throw it, when I take, just wave your hands in the air like you just don't care, literally. Like, I don't worry which direction I'm pointing them in.
There you go.
I'm waving them like I just don't care. All right. So, Tomas has the dates.
Yes, sir. I got it right here, right in front of me here.
Share with the folks.
We have here that there'll be a total of 11 practices open to the public, 6 on weekend mornings, and 7 featuring a fan fest, whatever that is. And then Rouse's Markets is going to be the official grocery store of the Saints, as they always are. We'll be introducing a cool zone area for those fans.
Yeah.
It'll only be like 90 degrees in that area.
Yeah. It'll be right. Instead of 100, it'll be 90.
You know what? They can put a tree and a little soda stand right there. $10 sodas.
There you
get
go.
You like a 12-ounce
soda. A big block of ice and a fan behind it.
Yeah. There you go. That's a cool zone. But the thing about it, people will pay money to stand under that tree, too.
Now, you get free tickets by visiting NewOrleansSaints.com/training camp on Friday, July 21st, with early access opportunities available for season ticket holders on 719 and the wait list members on 720. There you go. So that gives you a bunch of dates on here. The club will begin its field non-pads first on the 27th and the 28th from 8:50 to 11:40, so forth and so on. First padded practice will be July 29th.
That's my birthday.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
So you have all that going on there. August 12th through the 14th will be open to the public. There you go. The team will travel to Southern California for 2 days of joint practices with the L.A. Chargers.
L.A., that sounds weird.
In Costa Mesa, California. Well, you know, there's a really good restaurant that I ate in Costa Mesa. But anyway, just, you know, I had this thing how it connects for me. So we've got a bunch of information. I would tell all of you the place you get this information is the official Saints website.
NewOrleansSaints.com.
There you go. And you'll get the announcement there. But so there we have it. Training camp.
Underway.
Underway. And they give you a big chart. Days of assistant coach availability. They give you all kinds of information on here. You gotta go through this. All right, so there you have it. And hopefully we'll get out there and get some people to. And by the way, if you go to a practice and you see something significant and you'd like to share it with us, Dave, can you please give them?
I was just thinking about that. You can either call the graffiti hotline at 701 701 901-1295.
If
they've got some in-depth information, they want to get details, they give us an email over at, it's bsandbeer at icloud.com.
There you go.
And then you also have all of our Twitter stuff. Tomas, tell them your Twitter.
bsandbeer, who dat?
Okay.
Or Tomas Mauricio 19.
All right. Now, you see, the other one's easier because nobody knows how to spell your last
That's
name.
Right. So it's bsandbeer, who dat?
Yeah, mine is what? Saints BS. So you can holler at us, send us an email, tell us all that information that you need to get out to and disseminate to the people. Right,
there
Heath?
There you go. That's right.
Right.
That's
right. Well, welcome to the show, Heath.
Oh, thank you.
You've just been sitting there quiet for the last, about 8.5 minutes now.
Yep, I'm awake.
Nothing to say?
Now.
All right. So, unless you got something else, Tomas,
I have plenty of stuff, but go ahead.
I know I'm talking about, within reason. I don't know how to even say
all
that
all my
to
stuff
you.
Is reasonable. What are you talking about?
All right, here we go. Yeah, that's the guy that says he got opinions. Don't need no facts. Yeah. They got opinions.
That's right.
Let's see. Lil Dice, he says, by position, where did the Saints improve from last year? Quarterback, and he just went very simple. Yes and
all
no.
Right,
I think
let's
we'll
start
go
at
a little
the top.
Bit.
Start at
the top. Quarterback. Did we get better at quarterback?
What did he say?
He said yes.
I say it's a push.
I would say it's a push because I don't think that Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel is much better than what we had as a backup last year. Tomas?
I'm going to say that I think it's better. I don't think it's just a push.
Imagine that.
Simply because McCollin, though a bright man and a good team player, I don't think he had the mobility that Daniels does. And I don't think that – I just feel that he was a different quarterback than Drew, so there were different offensive philosophies when he would go on the field.
Does Daniel have a Verizon commercial? I don't think so. So
well, if that's how you he's want to say it.
Some kind of way he's got a lot more money, though. I can tell you that.
One way or another. All right, so moving on. Running back. Lil Dice says, yes, improved.
Yes. I think that one's obvious.
I think that's pretty obvious. Our depth is significantly better. Kamara, tons of potential. I'm excited about him. Also, we talked early in the week. I don't think he's going to get much playing time unless there's an injury. But, man, I want to see Lasko. Nothing else. I think he's gonna do some business in the preseason.
So this is just running back?
Running back right now. He's going to – think about this. You think Peterson's going to get a ton of work in the preseason?
No.
You think Ingram's going to get his few carries like he does every year?
Yeah.
We're going to see a lot of Lasko.
We're going to see a lot of Lasko. Yeah. We're going to see a lot of Kamara.
And I predict – that we're going to walk away doing, like, excited about Lasko. That's I don't know how bold a prediction that is, but bold prediction.
That's a bold. Is that a?
The bold prediction?
No, you know, the lock.
Oh, it's the lead pipe lock of the week.
There you go.
Oh, poor
I
Lasko.
I want to give you that opportunity.
Poor Lasko. He's out before he started. Yeah. Wait. I think he just broke his leg.
Yeah, I know. check the line. Yep, he's been cut. All right. Wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Here we go.
I don't. What did he say?
He said no.
No. You know, man, I kind of want to call this one a push again. You know, I know what he's saying. Cooks.
When Daniel throws to him.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the drinking game for this week. Every time somebody leaves the S off of Cooks or puts the S on Daniel, everybody drink up.
All right, that's good. I like that.
All right, so, look, I like Cooks. I really do. I think he's a good receiver. I think Ginn will be able to be as effective for the most part in the Saints offense, in that role. And the rest of it is I guess you could say, what are the chances that Michael Thomas is going to be able to repeat or exceed what he did last year? Let's hope he does. Not a sophomore slump. He's not sneaking up on anybody this year. Right. They see it coming. Yeah, for a rookie. So, but I'm going to go with push. I think it's a push.
Okay, Tomas.
For wide receiver, I'm going to say the same thing. At wide receiver, I think it's a push. I think that. By bringing in Ginn and having more availability of the routes, what he lacks that Cooks had, I think he makes up in other ways. So I would say equal. Michael Thomas, I think, is going to be proving that it wasn't just a fluke. And I actually think Snead will be even better this year than he was last year because of the differences in the offensive philosophy overall. And I don't know if our boy, who's even got bigger guns this year, will finally decide to play his height instead of his IQ.
Jeez and crackers!
Wow,
I hate whenever
you
we get
cold-hearted SOB.
So yeah, you cold. I'm glad you wrote that down so we have that to go for. Here's the thing: I think I would be a hypocrite if I said that we were worse without Cooks. So I think that Ginn will fill that role more than adequately. So I don't think we really lose anything. What I'm concerned about is a little bit of depth, but we didn't have it last year either. So we had Cooks was the only speed guy we really had. So I would have to say we are the same. Here's the thing with Michael Thomas though, is man, people keep saying he's gonna be a sophomore, he's gonna be better. How is he gonna be better?
Well, that's the problem.
He was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, he had almost 100 receptions. I mean, he was so good. It's like hard to imagine that he could be more productive.
Right.
So I think, but I don't expect him to digress. I think he's going to be about the same player. Because you got to think, hypothetically, if he gets 20% better as a sophomore, defense are going to be paying 20% more attention to him than they were last year. So it's going to be that much more difficult. So when it's all said and done, I'd say we are what we were last year and in ways maybe a little bit better, but it's marginal. So I would say, push is the is what I would say as well. So tight end, Heath, tight end.
I'd have to say push on this one because I think we're gonna. Well, actually, you know what? assuming that Hooman makes it back and is able to contribute, you know, and hoping that Fleener improves a little bit more. Maybe gives us 15 production for 16 pay.
Somebody use a taser in here or something? Everybody's choking, smoke inhalation?
You know, maybe we could be a little bit better at tight end next year.
You see,
or this year coming up.
I agree. I think that, you know, lost in this is the return of Hooman from injury, but mm-hmm. also Josh Hill. Mm-hmm. I believe that Josh Hill is your more stereotypical all-around tight end. He's a good receiver. He has good athleticism. He's strong. Matter of fact, here, you mentioned this about Lasko. Hill was a very good special teams player as well.
Yeah.
So I think that and I think that he's going to be – he's like that missing element that kind of gets you over the top. You can run the ball with him. You can throw the ball. He's not great at any of it, but he's very good at a lot of it.
Yeah.
Fleener, I don't know, man. I just tend – okay. Maybe this is me being overly optimistic. I see once we start as we start spreading the field vertically, then it opens up seams for the tight end, for guys over the middle, for Fleener and for other receivers. So maybe I'm just trying to believe that Fleener will be more productive. I think the opportunity's there for him. He's going to be another year in the system. I think that the opportunity's there. So I think we have definitely, just by the return of injured players, we've improved at tight end. Tomas?
As long as you have Fleener starting, for me, it's a push at best.
Well, you know, that says a lot.
Wow.
That says a lot. That he, Tomas didn't
say
he's
going to
be significantly
better. Don't care about
none of
the rest of it. Yeah, all right.
I agree with you that if we have a healthy Hooman and we have a healthy
Hill,
especially when you think about how much the Saints paid for Hill matching the Chicago offer. They have to really believe that he has something that contributes to that offensive philosophy. If I weren't so negative on Fleener, I would say I think it's probably a better situation because the two guys that were hurt, plus they really are still high on this kid Phillips that they signed as well. So, you know, it could come down. It could be a real brawl to see who's going to end up being the tight end. And Fleener's going to be in because they can't go with the dead money. So he's going to be there, unfortunately. Well, maybe we can trade him to Cleveland. They'll pick up his contract and everything else. But in any case, just because of my negativity, all right, I'll be positive. I see it's a better situation because the guys coming back off of injury will be much better. So
all right.
I'll give you a better.
All right. Offensive line.
So, by the way, what did Lil Dice
say? Oh, Lil Dice said tight end, yes, and he said Hooman. So,
there you go. Okay.
Got to remind me, keep Lil Dice in the conversation here. Offensive line.
Well, you know.
A deep subject for a shallow mind, get a bucket. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to say better. I mean, we added Ramczyk, a number one draft choice. We brought in the guard.
Oh, yeah, from Detroit.
Warford
from Detroit.
Now, you know, I know losing Armstead, but like we already said, he was missing for, you know, most of last year anyway. So overall, yeah, it's a better group. So I'd have to say, yeah. I mean,
Tomas,
I very much believe that our offensive line is going to be better. I say it's better, not just a push, because we talked about how Evans was the guy in the phone booth.
Right.
And so Warford is a huge improvement over that, no doubt about it. I like the backup center that we picked up from the Redskins. So I think that's an improvement there. I like the kid that we drafted, Ramczyk. I really, really like him. So that's an improvement there. So overall, I'm looking, and to use what Dave says, you know, when your starting guys become your backup guys, that means you've definitely improved. Well, I don't see Kelamente playing at all. I mean, he's a backup that is like an emergency guy.
Right.
At
this versatile point. Backup guy.
Whereas before, there was always like, oh, we got Kelamente to play. We got Lolito to play. Okay, well, good luck to the Titans with Lolito. You know, and who knows? Maybe a change of scenery and a change of offensive philosophy might help him. I mean, yeah, I didn't think he was that bad of a guy. He just
changed when
he got beat,
shoes and
yeah, when he got beat, he just got beat. You know, I mean, it wasn't even an if or an up.
Which was, but that was like every third play. So,
well, yeah, yes, I understand. Which is why I say I think we're better.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no doubt that overall the group is better. The issue now is going to be how long is Unger out, if he's going to be out.
Well,
you know, can Ramczyk or whoever, Pete sliding over, fill in for Armstead? And if Pete had to slide over, then who would fill in at left guard? But I don't think there's any doubt that on paper, as a position group, they're better than they were last year.
Well, you make that assumption before I weigh in.
Go ahead.
So I agree with you, though. My first reaction when I thought about it is Armstead. I'm like, you cannot lose a guy like that and think that you better. Having said that, okay, the question is, where did we improve from last year? Armstead didn't play very much last year. We've improved our depth. I get it, the Unger situation, but he's supposed to be back. With that assumption, Warford, you have young depth. I think we're better. Yeah.
Hopefully Unger's not going to wind up being out or not being out much. But like Tomas said, we definitely have better at backup there than Jack Allen, who I like, and
his like
ilk.
Him too.
Okay, I still
yeah.
like those guys in a practice squad and whatnot to continue to develop. But I think you got a veteran guy.
Yes.
And then, you know, a bona fide number one draft pick who, if not for the injury, would have been a mid first round draft pick, you know, a guy with a lot of talent.
Yeah, he would have gone farther than 15.
As a group, they're definitely better. It's just going to, like everything else with the Saints, it'll wind up coming down to the injury situation.
Right.
All right. Well, here's where it starts getting sketchy. Defensive line. Oh, what?
What did Little
Dice
say?
No, I think
he
said
no?
That one. Yeah.
Okay.
But defensive line, he said no. So, your thoughts on defensive line?
Well, boy, this is, you know, on the one hand, it was addition by subtraction, right?
Right.
we almost just got incrementally better just from getting rid of the wooden nickel.
Are we still playing that game?
Wooden Indian.
Yeah, the wooden nickel,
the wooden nickel.
Same either one, yeah. But, you know, man, and then losing fairly, I don't know. I'm going to say, this is a hard one. I don't know. We
don't,
got new guys on the edge.
Tomas can criticize you.
No, I'm trying to weigh it out. You know.
You want me to get back to you?
As a group, again, I think they're better. But, man, there's a couple of real question marks there. I'm gonna say yes, though. I'm going to say yes.
Go out on a limb and say yes.
Yeah.
Tomas, why are you looking at me like that? It makes me uncomfortable.
There aren't enough balls to go around. So... Here's what I would say to you. I think that this is kind of from a perspective of a fellow who believes in his hometown team, I'm going to say to you that it's better.
Where's that perspective when we're talking about tight ends?
Yeah.
You got that perspective for everything else.
He got to have something.
Yeah,
he got to have
Fleener
something
run
that
off
he bags
with your
on.
Woman or something or what? I mean, what happened? Something happened here.
No, I'm just saying to you.
Ran over his puppy.
Yeah, I'm talking about my dog now, bro.
Oh,
I'm talking
too
about
soon.
Too soon. Too soon. Yeah, too soon. Right. Sorry. Too soon.
All right.
Now,
defensive line.
Yeah, I would say to you that yes, Fairley is a loss, no doubt about it, because the expectation would be that he would play at the same level that he played last year. That would be the expectation. Signing a big contract. That would be the expectation.
That's a loss even if he was just a rotation guy.
Right. However, I have to look at it and say, all we need is someone on the outside opposite Cam Jordan to give Cam Jordan an opportunity to, again, be in double digits for sacks. Because how many times did we watch Cam get chipped and then double teamed and still put pressure on? Simply because you had Wooden Indian on the other side.
Not Wooden Nickel.
No, sir.
No.
Yeah. So, again, I think just by who we got coming back, you've got Kikaha coming back, you got Guachum coming back, and I've heard reports that Guachum is in the best shape that he's been, so we'll see. again, this guy, you'd have to prove it to me.
He must be a freak because that dude was already in
good
shape.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
He was about as lean and ripped as anybody I've ever seen. I'm just saying, the reports that I've heard.
Well, last year he had two donuts. This year he cut it back to one donut.
That'll do it.
That's it. But I believe that addition of Okafor. Tapp played pretty good last year. So you have two players that have experience and have played the game and can give you something. I still really believe in Hendrickson coming on during the season. And Kikaha, if Kikaha doesn't have to play every game, it's like we were talking about Peterson. If you can pick and choose where Kikaha plays, I think he'll be much more effective and he'll last the entire season. So do we have enough players now on the outside to rotate? I think we do. So the issue on the defensive line is going to be, in my opinion, and it's really going to come down to this, can Onyemata step it up in the middle? That's going to be the bottom line to me. He is the one player who I think can make up a great deal of the Fairley loss, in my opinion.
Okay, so I like what you just said there because I think the exact same way. It's you just look at it from a very positive perspective.
I think Rankins is the biggest.
But Rankins, here's the thing. Rankins was already on the field. So, like,
Rankins playing, being on the field all year and taking another step towards the guy, what they thought they were going to get when they drafted him.
Sure.
Saying he didn't show signs of that last year. What I'm saying is, though, Rankin could potentially come in this year and play as well or better than Fairley did last year.
But that's true. That's true.
But my point is this. If you spend as much time as any NFL team does in sub-packages, you got Rankins and you got Fairley on the field.
Right, losing
Fairley, you still had Rankins on the field. That's the perspective I'm coming from.
Right, right.
So where I'm going with Tomas is because we'll argue about stuff, but at the end of the day, I think we almost have the same mindset as I like Onyemata. I'm just not, if I had my brothers, I'm not just like, oh, yeah, we got Onyemata. But the potential is there that if he steps up, that his measurable say he can and his work ethic. It's not just that he's fast and he's got the work ethic. He's got the talent. If he can take a big enough step to fill Fairley's shoes, then yeah, that's going to be a huge matter of fact. That could be the key to the defensive season success. Is that guy right there?
I think the key is Onyemata and Davidson. I think that he has to step in as well and at least hold the position. He doesn't have to be the pressure up the middle, but he has to hold a bit, like you're saying.
Well, he's a run stopper.
If you've got two guys in some package. And again, Rankins only played the last half of the year, and he still, you know, contributed, I think, in a great number, all things considered, because he came back, he still wasn't in football shape.
Sure.
So the first two games he played, but, you know, he really showed his potential in the last four games of the season. So if you take just the last four games and you say, okay, can you transfer that skill of the last four games to an entire season? Even without Fairley there, if you have someone who can hold a position, like Davison, and then you have somebody who has a potential of stepping it up and forcing some pressure as well, being Onyemata, well, then I think we're a positive end. I don't think we're push. I think we're better.
Right, I feel you, but to me, that's too many ifs. You know, so my point is, I like and I'm hoping and I think the defensive success hinges because we're starting from the inside out on Onyemata making a huge step. And you were alluding to that.
I don't need a huge step. I just need a big step.
I mean, okay. I maybe we don't have enough time in this show to get into that debate. But, I mean, what did he do last year? I mean, did he have any sacks? He had a couple of plays where he woofed, but he was putting on
pressure. So, if I remember my numbers correctly, Fairley had a pressure once every 9 opportunities.
Right.
Rankins had a pressure once every 18 opportunities.
Right.
And Onyemata, if I remember right, it was once every 23 or 4, something probably. Like that.
So, okay. You know, you need to take a big step forward and get those pressures to like 15 to 12.
Right. Well, and look, you know, Onyemata, it's strictly a matter of him playing the position long enough. It's not about talent.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
And it's not about intelligence.
Nope. Right.
Onyemata hasn't been playing long enough.
Correct.
Right. I mean, this guy was the absolute definition of raw.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And that says
it's a matter of when to me when Onyemata, not if it's when.
I like that. Yes.
And then the same Rankins, and I think Rankins will be definitely better than that 18. He's going to
But again, I was 1-18 for six games.
That's what I'm saying. You okay, based on that alone,
yeah,
and
what
the potential we saw, I think he is the real deal, and I think he will fill up a lot of the void.
Yes.
And we got to remember too that Davison is only going to be what
third year, right?
It's not like this guy, you know. So he's still improving.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
and then you have the play of the linebackers. Because that's going to change.
And this ties in, though. We need those guys up front there in the middle to be successful to keep these guys clean behind them. That's another issue.
Right, which is the next position I guess we're getting.
All right, so next up, defensive backs.
Oh, defensive backs. Okay.
What did I mean? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I skipped linebacker. Yeah, I was just trying to mess with your head there a little bit. Linebacker. Heath.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's... It's not even a question. Yeah. So we all in agreement. Lil Dice said yes. DB, I think that's another one.
Yes.
I think
without question.
Yeah. You get these injured guys back.
Yeah.
You get
We're better just as a group. You added Lattimore. You added Williams. I mean,
that's two pluses right there.
Yeah. And you almost just can't have the same kind of injury situation again.
Right.
Next year, I will be saying this, though.
I've said that the last couple of years. I'm like, we can't possibly be as bad as we were last year on defense. And, yes, we were.
Yeah.
You know, so
but, again, I go back and say to you, I believe we now have the players that Dennis Allen wants to play in his defensive scheme. I believe now we have three coaches, really, because Dennis Allen hired one coach last year for defensive back coach. Right? And it was last year that he hired
Glenn. I just couldn't remember if that was.
Yeah, that was, yeah, last year was his first year. So you got a new defensive back coach, basically, okay, and you have a new line coach and you have a new linebackers coach. And the linebackers coach is a former defensive coordinator. So, and supposedly
and
he's like
coach.
The. And head coach, that's right. Yeah. So you've got a lot of experience now back there coaching. And
did
I think
you
that's
see Robertson singing the praises of Nolan.
Yes, I saw that video today. Yeah, so. He's a great teacher.
Exactly. Yeah. And that same thing that they've said about the kid that they hired from North Carolina State to be a defensive line coach.
Yeah.
Same thing. He's a great teacher. He really gets down there with them and shows them the ins and outs of the technique.
And fired up.
Yeah. So and again,
high energy.
Yeah. So to me, if you just not even just the players part, the coaching part, I think is very significant as well. So, yes, I think DBs are significantly better.
All right. Well, there you go.
Is that all of them?
Last one.
What did Lil Dice say on the DBs?
DBs, he said yes. So, okay. Special teams, Lil Dice says yes.
I think so. I think Ginn is going to add a return element that the Saints have been missing. I think Kamara is a guy that will get a look there that could help. Lasco, if he stays healthy, on both sides of the ball, potentially.
Right. Josh Hill, we mentioned as well as a gunner.
Josh Hill.
Not gunner, but
you know, I mean, coverage guy. I think they definitely have the potential to be better on.
You know, here's another thing. How many games early in last year did I don't know? Some of it cost us. Some of it was just you don't know what the impact of that. But how many block kicks? Trajectory
now
was
to where
too
I was going to go to.
Yeah.
I mean,
you just have to believe that they clean that up. And because the second half of the year, he did clean it up.
Because right.
they hired a new coach.
So they finally got rid of the guy that everybody's been wanting to get rid of more than any other coach, the special teams coach, finally got his boot, even though he's now at LSU. Sorry, LSU. But a big difference, O'Day being the new coach, made a world of difference for the kicking game. So, again, Denver game, kicking game. Giants game, kicking game.
Right.
All right, that's 9-7 instead of 7-9. Right there.
Denver?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
the Denver game and the Giants game.
Oh.
Those two games we lost because of a block kick because the ball was in the wrong
place.
And
now another big change with that, although the jury's going to be out, is we got
a new snapper.
We got rid of Drescher.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a new long snapper.
Yeah.
And, you kind of have to feel that was part of the problem that they had with Drescher was on those blocks.
Yeah, yep. So, overall, I'd say special teams, significantly better.
Yeah, there you go. So, there you go. Lil Dice sent us in an email. Good talking points, something to get the old mind stimulated now that we're starting to get into, the season is not the season, but Training camp is upon us.
When you get to the training camp, it's real.
We're here. We made it, man.
That's it.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back with Chris Landry, and y'all don't go anywhere. We've got some exciting stuff.
BS and beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, we're back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. As we do every week, my friend Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com is joining us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you today, man?
I'm doing good, Dave. It's good to be with you again. And, boy, it's hot around the country, but, boy, training camps are starting in earnest this week around the NFL.
Man, doesn't it just gets me excited? I can't help it. And I get all giddy. I live for football, and now it's time. So the things that that are big right now, the Saints rookies – are reporting on Wednesday. So my question to you is, what are the things that these guys are going to be doing to get ready, or what are the coaches going to be having them do to prepare for when the veterans arrive later on here in a couple of days?
Well, the rookies, let's back up. When the rookies got into mini camps, they got a vision and a feel, got the playbook, now on iPads, get a feel for the installation of their offense, their defense, special teams, their involvement, and what they're expected to learn and do. So what this is going to take place as they report is a refresher on what they've been asked. And it's going to be a fast-paced grilling, and we'll know quickly who's on schedule, who's behind schedule in terms of learning, because it goes at a fast pace. Now, you'll spend a little time with rookies, extra reps, so they'll get all the reps because it's just them, and you bring in extra guys so you can run your drills. And as you get more comfortable and the repetitions become more seamless, your goal is with these young guys to get them ready so that when the veterans come in, it's seamless for them. The transition is seamless. They won't get as many reps, obviously more players. They've got to make the limited amount of reps count. So it's really important that they get up to speed and understanding their responsibilities, their roles. And we've got some guys like every one of these teams, and talking with general managers and coaches as they're heading into camp, some of these guys, in a lot of cases, are going to be expected to start. Heavy contributions around the league. The Saints case, it's no different. I mean, there'll be guys they're going to expect a lot of early, and really it'll be determined how quickly they're able to assimilate the information and develop a comfort level to put them on the field.
So generally speaking, you would say that the coaches expect these guys to understand the playbook and have absorbed enough of it where there's no real lack of understanding of what's expected from them. Now it's just a matter of them catching up to the speed and the strength and all the different challenges from the NFL level. Is that a fair assessment?
It is, but they expect it to know what they've been taught. If you look at it as a 30-chapter book, they've been only given like the one or two chapters that is reasonable for them to understand, the basics of the offense or defense, and so that's what they're expected to know. If they don't know that, they're going to have a hard time going forward. It's kind of like you don't want to teach algebra right away. You've got to make sure that you've got the multiplication tables, long division, before you get into algebra and advanced math. So how you advance it and teach it early, you can't go on to that next step if you can't understand the basic concepts of what you're asked to do on the offensive and defensive side. So that will be expected for them to know. All the other ancillary stuff that they're going to be built upon, that's going to come quick, that's going to come fast, and that's going to come a little bit in stages. But yes, they're going to be expected to know the basics of their offense and defense and special teams when they get in.
Okay, so adding to that, the next question that I want to get your thoughts on is, which of the young guys with the Saints do you think that do you think will have the most success based on perhaps if you're looking back at in college, maybe they went to a college that better prepared them. Maybe they had a coach in the past that prepared them for what's coming up. Which guys do you expect or think will have the most success? And I'm talking about the young guys, the rookies.
Mm-hmm. I think Marcus Williams has a chance, the safety out of Utah, to come in and have an impact on special teams and can have an impact in their nickel and dime package. He's very well versed in the passing game, and he does a good job in the box, so I expect him to play well early in some of their packages. Now, I do expect, out of necessity, that Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk are going to be really work with the idea that these guys could start. Because we've talked about it the past couple of weeks that, listen, the tackle position is thin. Ramczyk's going to be – that's going to be a quick speed to learn and get going. And for Lattimore, while he does not have a lot of playing experience, they're going to want to get him into one of their sub-packages pretty early because, quite frankly, they're going to need him to start. And so I think that those two guys are going to be have more pressure on them, or they're going to be treated almost as starters, and we're going to figure out what we need to do to get them ready to start, whereas a guy like Marcus Williams can have an impact. And Alvin Kamara, I could see him being a factor in the passing game in nickel. And then I'm very curious to see what Trey Hendrickson can do as an edge rusher, situational rusher. So that's kind of how I see it among the draft pick rookies.
Well, I tell you what, I think the fans are super excited to see these guys finally hitting the field. You know how fans get. They see, they read. They're so excited. Football's here. Every guy's going to be the next superstar. And what we always do is we look for that camp beast, the guy that steps up early in practice and catches that big pass or gets a couple of those, I don't know, training camp sacks where it's no real contact. But, you know, they beat somebody, get the hands on the quarterback. So I think fans are looking for the guy from these young guys to really kickstart it and get them excited about it. And I think everyone's looking forward to this.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the off season for fans, it's tough because there's excitement about the draft and free agency, but you're not playing football. And so now you get into training camp. Preseason may not be the real thing, but it gives a taste. So we're closer to those preseason games where you can start to see some of these guys. And as you say, you can grade the flashes. You can grade certain players and hope springs eternal, and everybody
exactly.
Everybody's got a chance to go to the Super Bowl today. That's not going to last very long.
No,
but you know, every Browns fans think that hey, they can contend and be 500 this year, and you know, pretty soon they'll realize that's not realistic. So, I think it's a fun time of year. It's an exciting time of year because again, everyone's excited about what they have and. You know, and maybe not as excited about what their division rivals have, but there's going to be a fun time, an interesting time, but a time where we can learn a lot about these players and how this team comes together. And the Saints are one of these teams that have some definite holes. They have some strength. It'll be interesting to see in a division that Carolina's had some upheaval in their organization. Tampa's getting better. You know, but it's a competitive division, and the Saints certainly counted on to be a good team. How good? I'm not quite sure, and that's what we're going to start to find out really soon.
Well, I want everybody listening to know that the conversation I had with Chris, we've been doing these nice little short segments and just asking a couple of questions, but I told Chris, I said he better pack his lunch because once these guys start hitting for real, I'm going to have a lot more questions and I'm going to need a lot more input, and I hope you're up for the task, Chris.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Listen, guys, you can find Chris Landry at LandryFootball.com. So much information, really. You have to go and check it out. The man's a wealth of knowledge. Chris, I'm excited about football season. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show as you do every week, and we will talk to you next week, sir.
Hey, look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, that's a lot of show in a week in the off season. I mean, and but I still got more. Hey, for those of you who've just joined the show,
that's right.
Meaning just started listening to us, so just subscribe.
Look what you've been missing.
That too. But we do two shows during the regular season. So the one show is what we do in the off season. Now you have twice the BS and Beer podcast.
That's right.
Than you had in the off season. So if you just jumped on the bandwagon, just you know, in earlier in the summer or in the spring,
welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, and be prepared for the bonus round.
That's right.
Every week. So anyway, any final thoughts, Heath?
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead. I got nothing. I'm gonna let.
I'm gonna
throw it on over there because I got a feeling that we get ready
I had my head turned. I was looking at. So I swear, man, I've never seen it in my life.
Boy,
I'm sitting here like I don't know what we're gonna talk about. Tomas come. I got all kind of stuff to talk about, and I mean, just
we're gonna have a third show.
Yeah, we could have a third show this week if I left it up to Tomas.
I'm just saying that there are many things to talk about, and I want to be ahead of the curve because people are going to be comparing our wonderful audience-centered, fan-centered podcast to the other knuckleheads that are out there.
Man, just and humble, too. That's what I love about them.
Well, you know,
we got to get that thing that says the thoughts portrayed on this show do not reflect everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say I'm going to give you a heads up for the next show. On the next show, because people are so down on my New Orleans Saints, I'm going to do a comparison of draft choices. I'm going to ask you, would you rather have the Carolina draft choices? Would you rather have the Buccaneer draft choices?
I mean, should we wait until after a couple of preseason games
before
we do that?
No, right now, right now, we're going to go for it. So be ready for next show. Don't make me. You're making me raise my voice.
Apparently, Carolina would not rather have Carolina draft choices because they just fired their GM.
Oh, did they?
They sent him packing, man. I think they were also wondering about McCaffrey and Samuels as draft picks as much as everybody else was.
Yeah, those guys are bums. Unless we would have drafted them, then they'd have been really good
players. I can see the owner sitting back in Charlotte on draft day going, does this guy realize that we have Cam Newton for a quarterback? Who the hell is going to throw these guys the ball?
Oh, especially because they're both types of players that are like short, quick, get the ball in their hands and right. Let them make plays.
Right.
So, I don't know. They're just trying to find a replacement.
Well, maybe
again.
Because Cam hurt his shoulder, maybe they fixed his shoulder, so now he can't throw the ball long. Now he can only do the little dink and dunk.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
they better not require a touch.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's why I say I wanted to discuss that next time. So, just a heads up for everybody who wants to do a little research. You know, look up who every team drafted in the NFC South, and we're going to talk about it.
And by everybody, I think he means us.
Yeah, no, he's like us. My favorite part is when he's like, all these no good nobody, no nothings, and you know he's talking about me, right?
I am not. No, you take it personally when I'm not talking to you.
I don't take it personally.
I don't do that to my friends.
No. I like that you don't direct it to us. Like, all those people, you know, he'll be like, those podcast hosts that host some podcasts and
knuckleheads.
Know nothing.
He thinks enough of his friends to go offhanded.
You know, yes.
No, look, I'm just saying, you know, I want to stay current and I want our listeners to be involved. And that's why it's really important for them to know these moments that they can contact us because we have a hotline.
Oh, you're trying to put me on the spot.
Speaking of being involved.
I got it.
Go ahead.
It's 701.
All right.
901.
Small number.
1295.
There you go.
Give us a call on the hotline. If you haven't done it yet, if you haven't heard it, we take the audio file. You leave a message. We take the audio file. We put it on the show, and then we talk about it, man. So it feels like you're more part of the show. Then we also have bsandbeer@icloud.com. Tomas, tell them about your Twitter.
Who dat? Right? BS and Beer, Who Dat is my Twitter account.
Okay.
You can get me there.
And I'm Saints BS.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Heath Olsenson.
There you go.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck spelling that. Yeah,
with the little egg with no picture in it.
I don't have a picture. Right.
No, man.
No.
But hey, listen.
I had to figure out how that Twitter works.
As I mentioned last week, you know, there's a lot of podcasts are going now. We can, you know, send us this and donate.
I got two guys that just followed me on Twitter that have podcasts that I've never heard of before.
No.
But for the Saints.
I think, man, people are jumping
somebody
on the
followed
wagon.
Me today. It must be one of the same guys.
Ones, yeah.
But listen. Look, today's show was proof. Send us an email. We'll put out an hour show on it.
Like, exactly.
No problem.
Hey, thanks for putting on a show, guys. No problem. We got an hour on that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we're not asking for donations. We're not asking y'all for it. If you want to, hey, I got no problem with you. You send it to me. I'll send you an address. But what we do appreciate.
You can always use the beer tap.
Yeah, always. What we appreciate is like the show, tell your friends about the show, absolutely, spread the word. Because to me, and I can't speak for these guys, but this is all driven by the more people I see listening, the more inspires me to want to do the show. You know,
oh, absolutely.
It's what makes me go. It's what absolutely makes me tick. Yep. So please, you know, like the show. Give us a good reference, review, all that stuff. Tweet us, like us, click on us,
yeah,
all that stuff. Right, Tomas?
Absolutely.
All right. So anyway, this is second
closing
show.
Closing thoughts?
We already did that. Don't try that. Don't try that. Anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio,
hey,
I'm Dave Romero. This is the BS and Beer Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
Yeah. Let's do this. BS and B-Boys. Let's go. Let's roll. D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Heat and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it on real. I mean, they know what's popping in the field. Yeah. B's and B-Boys. Uh-huh. Saints. B's and B-Boys. I love this podcast. I love this podcast.